Your Bible this morning, we're in Deuteronomy chapter 6, Memorial Day theme message, Deuteronomy 6. We'll be reading the first 13 verses in that chapter. Why don't you stand with me, please? Deuteronomy chapter 6. And the Bible says, "Now these are the commandments, the statutes, and the judgments, which the Lord your God commanded to teach you, that you might do them in the land whither you go to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God, to keep all his statutes and his commandments, which I commanded thee, thou and thy son and thy son's sons, all the days of thy life, that thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe to do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of thy fathers hath promised thee, in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, and shalt talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when thou risest up. Thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and thou shalt be as a frontlets between thine eyes. Thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates, and it shall be, when the Lord thy God shall have brought thee into the land which he sware unto thy fathers, to Abraham, to Isaac, and Jacob, to give thee great and goodly cities that thou buildest not, and houses full of good things which thou fillest not, and wells dig which thou diggest not, vineyards and olive trees which thou plantest not, when thou shalt have eaten and be full, then beware, lest thou forget the Lord which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. Thou shalt fear the Lord thy God and serve him and shalt swear by his name." Heavenly Father, I pray we'd not forget. We live in a country that we did not build. Our forefathers built it for us. We have resources that were basically handed to us. And sad to say, like the Israelites of old, Americans are squandering those resources today, demanding more and expecting to give nothing back in return. We are starting to see the consequences of our actions as we drift from you and live for pleasure and passion and forget the things of God. And I fear that America is starting to experience the same thing that Israel experienced when we no longer cared about you. God, I pray that we would care this morning. And as Scott just sung of someone running 100 miles an hour in the wrong direction, I pray this morning we would run 100 miles an hour in the right direction, towards you, our Savior, our Lord, the cross of Jesus Christ. Bless our time this morning, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Memorial Day is a day, obviously, we observe once a year. There are many things that have been written about it. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 7 is our key text this morning. "Thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children." I think it's very fitting that we dedicated a baby this morning. We're reminded of what we ought to be teaching our young people. What ought to be going on around the kitchen table, the conversations that ought to be taking place, not about who won Dancing with the Stars or whatever showboat is on TV or whatever. It ought to be around our kitchen tables, around our homes and our lives. It ought to be talking about the things of God from time to time on a regular basis. And those are the things, and teach them diligent, talk with them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, when you're laying down, when you're getting up, when you're walking, when you're sitting, pretty much that covers things, you know? When you talk about the Lord, all the time. Say that with me. All the time. That's what we ought to be talking about, the things of the Lord. And obviously, if we were doing that, then I think there would be a lot of things that would just take care of themselves. Of Memorial Day, the American Wesleyan wrote, "Here sleeps heroic dust. It is meet that a redeemed nation should come to pay homage at such tombs, wreathing the memory of its patriot dead in the emblems of grateful affection. These grass-grown mounds, these flower-decked graves, awake the memories of the past, and the history of our nation's perils and its triumphs come crowding in on us here." The inscription of the tomb, the unknown soldier, says, "Here rests in honored glory an American soldier known but to God." Abraham Lincoln said in the Gettysburg Address, "The brave men living and dead who struggled here have consecrated it far above our power to add or detract. The world will well note nor long remember what we say here, but it can never forget what they did here." There are many other examples of memorials, but I think thousands of years before the Gettysburg Address, God set down the standard for what you and I were supposed to remember at the Passover in Exodus 12:14. "And this day shall be unto you for a memorial Ye shall keep it as a feast of the Lord throughout your generations. In the war with Amalek, you remember when Moses had to have his hands held up by his friends so that as his arms tired, he did not lower them. Exodus 17:14, and the Lord said unto Moses, write this for a memorial in a book. There ought to be things that we remember. Crossing over the river Jordan, we'll go to this text in a little bit, but Joshua 4:7, then she answered them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. In America, we celebrate certain memorials. They're events, feasts. The feast days of the Old Testament, obviously, were days where the Israelites were supposed to remember certain things. And here in America, we have our own feast days. We have Christmas, Thanksgiving, Easter, Good Friday. Those dates were all for a purpose to remind us of occasions of the past that have everything to do with what you and I believe as Christians. So what's the purpose of memorials? Obviously, there's much biblical precedent that God wants us to remember about certain things in our lives. And number one, a memorial is to remind us of certain things. In our text in Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verse 12 says, then beware lest thou forget. Lest thou forget. Say that with me. Lest thou forget. Sad to say, you and I see it on a regular basis. Seems like we don't have a real memory for a lot of details in certain things that ought to be remembered. Sometimes they're negative things about a certain individual where, I don't want to go in the wrong direction. But I'll tell you, when it comes election time, there ought to be things that you remember about certain candidates. Amen. That if they made choices or decisions, they ought to be held accountable for those choices or decisions. Seems like we forget so quickly. But the Bible is teaching us really that not for negative reasons, but for positive reinforcement, if you will, to remember certain things to inspire us. Paul said, I am a debtor. What was he a debtor of? Those that had gone before him, that he felt a certain responsibility to carry on the legacy, the baton, if you will, of the truth that was handed off to him, that you and I are also responsible for our generation. In the year 2015, Stan Griffin, as the pastor of the Cornerstone Baptist Church, has a responsibility before God to make sure that I say and do certain things in my lifetime, in my generation, because this is my job right now. This is your job right now. It's our duty to make sure people understand the truths of this word. You and I are stewards of this book, as we've been talking about in the last few weeks. And as stewards of the truth of the word of God, there is a world out there that is constantly shouting us down and trying to deny the truth of God's word. And if you and I are standing back quietly, not saying anything, that's exactly what Satan wants you to do. We have to stand up and take a stand for the truth of God's word, because folks, if you don't, if the Cornerstone Baptist Church does not, no one else is going to. They're not going to do that. Don't expect the politicians to do it. Don't expect the news people to do it. That's our job. God has called us to do that. And so we're to be reminded of certain things. Christmas, Good Friday, Easter. Easter represents the empty tomb. I like that. You know, you can go visit Buddha. He's right there at his tomb. You can go see Lenin. He's right there. You can go see Stalin. He's right there. But you know, there's something about a tomb over in Israel where you go, and it's called the empty tomb because our Savior's not in it. That's quite a difference from what everybody else has to offer, because we serve a risen Savior. We are just one generation away from losing everything as a Christian if you and I stay quiet. And obviously, we are starting to see the effects of what's happening in our families and in our country as we sit idly by. King of my life, I crown thee now. Thine shall the glory be. Lest I forget thy thorn-crowned brow, lead me to Calvary. Show me the tomb where thou wast laid, tenderly mourned and wept. Angels in robes of light arrayed guardeth thee while thou slept. May I be willing, Lord, to bear daily my cross for thee. Even thy cup of grief to share, thou hast borne all for me. Lest I forget Gethsemane, lest I forget thine agony, lest I forget thy love for me, lead me to Calvary. Don't ever forget the manger, the cross, the empty tomb. Don't ever stop sharing that with your kids and your grandkids. Let them know for one thing. Boy, if I go see Grammy and Grandpa, they're going to talk about the Lord. Now, I know some of you, by your own testimony, have been told, you know, I don't want you talking about this or that around my kids or whatever. You can't stop talking about your faith, if that ostracizes you from your kids or your family, then that's the choice they're making. You can't stop talking about what you and I believe in. We have to be known that we stood for something. And silence is not an option. Stand for something. Obviously, memorials are to remind us of certain things. Remember. Not only do they remind us of certain things, they also cause us to reflect, muse, ponder. Mary saw all these things and pondered them in her heart. One thing about Mary, she was a thinker. I think sometimes we're too quick to spout off what we think rather than just think. Reflect. I've been on the battlefield in Gettysburg. I've seen the cannon emplacements and the battle lines that were drawn. I've seen the hundreds of yards that men ran across as bullets. And you can go into the museums and see the lead they were throwing. And I'm telling you, it scares the daylights out of you. And we weren't even there. It's incredible the type of men that they were to engage the enemy. Last Sunday, I was privileged in the afternoon to officiate at the graveside service of Forrest Goodwin, 92 years old. Most of you would not know who he was. He lived in Levant. He was in World War II. He was an Army Ranger. At the time the U.S. became involved in World War II, most of Europe was engulfed and occupied in Nazi German troops. The 1st Ranger Battalion was formed on the onset of U.S. involvement in this conflict as an elite unit modeled after the British commandos. They were highly and rigorously trained to attack in the dead of night from the least likely route. The Rangers were trained in cliff climbing and speed marches, enabling them to infiltrate deep behind enemy lines on foot. Their surprise night attacks often followed 30-mile treks deep into enemy territory. They were also trained in amphibious landings where they could infiltrate from the sea. This highly trained soldier was strictly volunteer. Each was chosen not only for his merits of physical strength and endurance, but also for his intelligence and ability to think on his feet. The Ranger was expected to act independently and also survive on nothing more than his wits while accomplishing operations miles behind enemy lines. There were 6 Ranger battalions during World War II. Forrest was a member of the Derby Rangers. Each battalion was comprised of approximately 500 men. Of the more than 15 million people who served in the armed forces in World War II, only 3,000 were Army Rangers. That's amazing. Forrest Goodwin was one of those. They had the what you would call the once an eagle ceremony that they... A ranger stood up and gave roll call, and ranger so-and-so here, and then he halted another one, and that one would respond, and another one would respond, and finally they got to Ranger Forrest Goodwin. They called it out 3 times, obviously no response, and then someone else responded back, Ranger Forrest Goodwin is no longer here. He has responded to a higher authority, and it was very moving, and it's a privilege to know that men like that paid the price. We can't forget those folks. We can't. You know, the kids talked about growing up with their dad and going on family rides and all jamming. They had a large family, all jamming in the station wagon and listening to the radio and riding in the back of the pickup truck and no seat belts. And, you know, the older I get, the crankier I get, but I'm just disgusted with what we call danger now. You know, the fear of someone not being buckled in the car and getting a fine for that. And I've been fined for that. Maybe that's why I'm mad. But don't tell me that I'm in danger because I'm riding in a vehicle with no seatbelt. Danger is fighting the Germans. Danger is fighting the Japanese. Danger is fighting in Afghanistan. Danger is not riding without a seatbelt. We are such a nanny state now that it was so limp-wristed, pansified, that it's just driving me berserk. We need to get back to being real men that aren't afraid of things. I just had to vent, that's all. Appreciate the opportunity. I've stood on the deck of the USS Constitution, Old Ironsides. If you've taken a tour of that ship, back when we took it, years ago, I don't know if they still do it or not, you went down into the lower decks. And they actually showed you the dentist chair and the barber chair. And if you had a bad tooth on the USS Ironsides, they'd set you in the chair, strap you down, reach in there with a pair of pliers, yank your tooth out, throw in a gob of hot tar on top of the hole, and tell you to get back to work. Now, those were men. I have read where God himself left the throne of heaven to be born in a stable, spent the first few years of his life on the run while kings tried to kill him. As a child, he was made fun of as a boy who didn't know who his daddy was. When he went into public service, he was ridiculed once again. And even in his darkest hour, his chosen 12 abandoned him. He was buried in a borrowed tomb, but 3 days later, the grave could no longer hold him, and he came back to life. Now there was a man, the God-man. That's my Savior. When we reflect on the sacrifices that others have made, I want you to know that every now and then God will call you to take a stand. God will call you to stand up and say something. It could be this morning that God is calling you and you're here and you've never trusted Christ as your Savior. You couldn't be around a better group of people. And the time will come when the invitation is given. And folks will look around and I don't know if I want to step out and do anything. Shame on us if we're not willing to step out in God's house and stand for the Lord. How much do you think you're going to stand for the Lord out in a lost and dying world that can't stand us if you're not willing to stand up for him and a bunch of friends right here in God's house? I think it's time for men to be men, women to be women, and not afraid of what we believe and what we stand for, because if we don't, we are losing. Memorials. It's time for us to remind and reflect. And not only that, go with me to the next book over in the book of Joshua. I've already alluded to Joshua chapter 4, but I want us to see the first 7 verses in Joshua chapter 4, because I just want to say to you that I'll share with you, and it won't surprise you because I'm sure you've thought the same things, on occasion when I'm overtired, when things haven't gone well, 2 o'clock in the morning, bad time. Don't ever wake up at 2 a.m. It's not good. And I won't ask for hands this morning, but have you ever wondered if we're right? You know, really? You know, oh, no, Pastor, you can't say that. Listen, if doubts don't ever creep into your mind, then you need to sign my Bible. You know, because doubts creep in at times. But I'll tell you what, we have some sure assurance right here in this book. Okay, but memorials are also a reminder that, folks, we're not the first generation that ever believed this stuff. It goes way back. It goes back thousands of years. This truth that you and I believe in, that we stand for, has been the guidelight, the compass, the barometer that has always shown the truth. And those that have believed in it and followed it have lived a life that matters, salt and light. And one of the things that I believe memorials do for us is they reassure us. They reassure us. Joshua chapter 4 and verse number 1 says, "And it came to pass while all the people were clean passed over Jordan, the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, every one tribe of man, and command them, saying, Take ye hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men, whom he had prepared of the children of Israel, out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take ye up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Say that with me. What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord. When it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial unto the children of Israel forever." So I've never been there. Possibly some of you have. There's this pile of stones by the Jordan, maybe over time and distance. Those things are gone now. I'm not sure. I should know that. But at the time they were set there, so there's this pile of rocks in a place where you can tell that the river didn't just wash them up there. They have a certain structure to them. There they are. The kids are coming along and they're climbing on them and they're saying, what's the deal with the rock pile here? And mom and dad are commanded to say, those rocks used to be in the middle of the River Jordan. God parted the water. They went over there on dry ground and picked them up because we serve a God that can do anything. And those kids would be saying, wow, that's amazing. You know what? That same God that did that back then wants to do incredible things for you and I today. If we just remember, that's the kind of God we serve. And the things that we ought to talk about. But what do we know? I don't know. Times are tough here. Have you seen who's president? Where things couldn't get any worse. What are we going to do? You know what? My God's still on the throne, regardless who's in the White House. Okay? Doesn't matter what crowd is going on down in D.C. I've noticed that no matter who you send down there, just a matter of time before they all get corrupted. All right? But you know what? You can't corrupt my God. You can't go wrong on serving him. And for you and I, you know, we got a lot to brag about, folks. And when you're talking about our Savior, that's an incredible thing that we get to serve. It's an incredible thing that we're called to do, to stand up for something. And for every doubt that I have, and I don't want to disappoint you, but there was a time in my life where there was a certain tragedy going on. And I looked at my coworker, and I said to her, we are not winning. And she knew what that meant. And that part of my life didn't go well. That's life. God's still on the throne. Having said that, as I look around today, and I pondered whether I wanted to say this to you or not, but let's just say it like it is, folks. Right now, in the year 2015, we are not winning. We're not. And if that doesn't bother you, you know, I'm a sports fan. And they talk about getting motivated for Game 7 in the NBA or getting motivated for the Super Bowl. Those are things, folks, that you don't need to get motivated for. If you're in Game 7 of the NBA, you're ready. If you're in the Super Bowl, you're ready. Well, I want you to know, folks, the time is late. And the trumpet's about to sound. And if you're not excited about our possibilities, I can't rev you up anymore. There's nothing I can do. But on the other hand, if you and I recognize how great it is to be a Christian, what a great life we get to live. I've never had a bad day serving Christ, but I've had a pile of bad days serving the world. And if we just make up our mind that we are going to stand our ground. Say that with me. Stand our ground. No apologies. Because we're not wrong. I've got thousands of years of history. I've got a word of God that cannot be refuted. I've got a Savior that's on the throne. We can't go wrong. Stop apologizing. Stop being quiet. Stand on those stones that God gave you and say, listen, we know what we believe and we're not wrong. You can try what the Satan has to offer, but you're going to get licked. He wants you dead. Or you can come and serve a living Savior who promises life. You choose. What mean ye by these stones? What mean you by your life? What mean you by your Bible? What mean you by these truths? I believe in a monument. I don't want to offend anyone. Times are changing on how we handle the deceased. But I think a stone in a cemetery means something. I think going somewhere and standing at my wife's grave and seeing where it says Proverbs 31, a virtuous woman, I think she deserves that legacy of knowing that she lived well. And someone else, after I'm dead and gone, can come along and see those things. I like going to a cemetery and knowing in the Waugh Cemetery, you can look down the Griffin Row and clear across there representing a couple hundred years are griffins that lived and stood for something. And every now and then on one of those stones, it has a Christian phrase. Now, if I thought every griffin was a Christian, I doubt it. I heard someone, one of them was a pirate. I don't think he was a born-again pirate. But anyway, there's something about knowing that I'm carrying on in the family name. That's wonderful. But I think even greater to carry on the Christian legacy that I am a Christian. Say that with me. I am a Christian. Don't apologize for what we believe. Don't apologize for our stance. The world's calling us crazy. One way to get people to believe a lie is just to say it over and over and over and over. And Satan's done that. You know what? I don't believe the lie. I believe God's word. Happy Memorial Day. Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for some stones on a riverbank. Thank you for an empty tomb. Thank you for an American flag. Thank you for an Army Ranger. Thank you for a mom and dad. Thank you for all of the things around us that stand for something. Thank you for the Cornerstone Baptist Church, an old closed building that was reopened for the glory of Jesus Christ. Lord, whatever you want from us, help us not to apologize any longer for what we believe. Lord, we are not winning, and that's our fault. May we beg you for forgiveness, for not speaking up, for not loving, for not caring, for thinking if we stay quiet, it doesn't matter. Well, it does matter. Lord, if there are those here that have never said, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior, I pray right now that they'd get on your team, become part of the family of God by saying, Lord Jesus, come into my heart and be my Savior. Then maybe you'd embolden them, that they'd have the courage to get out of this seat and walk the aisle and come down, take my hand and say, I want to be a Christian today. Boy, that would be a wonderful thing. Lord, perhaps Christians that have already made that decision have stayed too quiet, too much on the sidelines, need to realize that it's time they grabbed their backbone, took a stand for Jesus Christ in a world that is just falling apart. And that's probably our fault. Lord, we leave ourselves with you today, thanking you for the legacy that has been left to us, and realizing in the year 2015, it's our responsibility now. I pray that we'd not shirk it. We'll open the altar. We'll give folks a chance to respond. Please, Lord, convict us if we need to be convicted. Encourage us if we need encouragement. Pray your Holy Spirit would speak through us. Lord, on this Memorial Day, there are families that have lost loved ones and they're hurting. Comfort them like only you can do. Thank you for an altar. Thank you for a God that cares and wants to hear. Bless the invitation in Jesus' name.